Good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milton. I'm really glad that you're here today as we get back into our series called Identity. Last week we took the week off. We celebrated the resurrection Jesus with a different message, and it was a wonderful time of celebration and lots of great decisions made for the Lord. And today we're going to jump back into our series talking about identity. And today we are going to look at the identity of being an ambassador. Several years ago when I was in Bible college, myself and another preacher boy was in the upstairs, in the downtown library, in the upstairs of the library. And we were sitting over against the window where we could see out into a parking lot and out into the street level. And as we were sitting there studying, being good preachers in training, we happened to notice outside the window that a fight had broke out. And there was two adolescents, maybe preteen, maybe teenagers, just going at it, just fists of flying, and they were fighting. And it didn't take too long, though, and I don't know if they advertised it or just word got around, but next thing you know, there's a whole crowd of kids around this fight, and they're all cheering it on and stuff like that. And, you know, within just a few minutes, my friend and I found ourselves standing at the window, kind of cheering this thing on. I mean, we didn't mean to. It was just like, it was just the natural thing for boys, I think. We just stood up and next thing you know, I was kind of like cheering it on and somebody gets popped a good one and I was doing the sound effects and then all of a sudden, we looked at each other and we had this moment of connection where we realized who we were. Like, we're adults. We're Christians. We're preachers in training, Bible school students. And when we realized who we realized we should do something. And so we went running downstairs and helped break up the fight. And it's probably a bit of a sad story, you know, as you look at your pastor that was engaged in cheering on this fight, you know, but maybe also a little funny story, but however you received it, I hope to use it as an illustration, of a statement that will kind of guide us through this message, and that is this, if you're taking notes. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Everybody say that with me. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. One more time. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. The problem with so many followers of Jesus today is that so many of us don't fully realize who we are in Jesus. Therefore, we don't fully understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Too often I hear people say, well, but because you're the preacher, you're the pastor. I'm just an ordinary Christian. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just a student. I'm just a machine operator. I'm just a entry-level clerk or worker, laborer. No. You need to understand something. There is nothing average, normal, or ordinary about you, and I mean that in the best sort of way. Okay? You're not normal. You, if you name the name of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit power, the same Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead. You've got that same Holy Spirit power inside of you, and there is nothing ordinary, average about that. Amen? I mean, you, as a follower of Jesus, you have access into the very throne room of God. And there's nothing ordinary about that. As a follower of Jesus, you've got access. You've got authority to use the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing ordinary or average about that. And when you know who you are, help me out. You'll know what to do. Very good. 2 Corinthians, if you have your Bible, ask you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or the words will be on the screen. Whenever you see words that are bold, I want you to read those for me and help me, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Very good. The old life is gone. What? a new life has begun. I love that. I love that verse. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. The old life is gone. Behold, a new life has begun. What does that mean, though? It means the old, the filth, the junk, the sin, the guilt, the shame. It's all gone. It's gone! And everything is brand stinking new. The problem, though, with so many followers of Jesus today is we don't fully recognize or realize that we have been made new. We have been made new. That is a fact. That is the truth. But for so many followers of Jesus, it hasn't quite reached our brains yet that we are a new creation in Christ. In fact, watch this. Time lapse, of course. But isn't that beautiful? It's kind of like a caterpillar becoming a beautiful butterfly. He's not a caterpillar anymore. He's a beautiful butterfly with crazy beautiful wings. Right? But imagine for a moment that butterfly, who isn't a caterpillar anymore, still thinks that he's a caterpillar. And imagine if this beautiful butterfly with wings continues to struggle and crawl around on the ground like a caterpillar. I mean, wouldn't that just be tragic? How sad would that be? I mean, it's not a caterpillar anymore. It's a butterfly. It can fly. Are you making the connection? The same is true with you and I. There's so many of us that have been born again that are a new creation in Christ, and yet it hasn't made it here yet, and we continue to struggle and crawl around like we're still our old selves, when the truth of the matter is we've been made brand new. Our identity is that we're a new creation in Christ. Yet some people just don't quite realize it yet, that they have been made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 18, we'll keep reading. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought who? Us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Guess what? That us? It's us. Right? It's you. It's me. God has given us this beautiful, wonderful message of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? It's just a bigger word for to restore to the divine. That's what it means, to restore to the divine, to embrace the broken, those that are far from God because of sin, and to help them be drawn back to Christ so that they can be forgiven, redeemed, and made new. Look at verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Did you just hear what I said? We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. How cool is that he would use us? You are an ambassador, and God is sending his message of reconciliation, restoration, and healing to people far from God through us. Here's the deal. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. You may want to write this down. You are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. You are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. Now, what is an ambassador? It's just someone sent to another country to represent the government of the country that they came from. I like, after the first service, somebody came up to me and gave me a thought, something that he had learned, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to use that in the second service. You all get a bonus. What is an ambassador? It's the king's voice in a foreign land. I was like, that is profound. It's the king's voice proclaimed in a foreign land. You and I are ambassadors sent by God from heaven to earth to represent the voice of the king of all kings to a people in a foreign land. Like say, for instance, I am the United States ambassador to England. The United States is my home, but I don't live there anymore. I live in England. Does that make sense? I am still a citizen of the United States, but I am living in England representing my home country, the United States. The same is true for you. Understand this. As Christians, this is not your home. Do you know that? I know it may come as a surprise to some of you because sometimes people live as if this is heaven. Like if this is as good as it's going to get. Some of you are like, I don't even know if I want heaven. You know, I've got it really good right now. And like, oh, stop. Right? This is not your home. This is not where we were meant to be. We act so struck and saddened by the end of a physical life. But the truth of the matter is we were never meant to stay here. Never. We are just, scripture even says, we're just strangers passing through. Like we're just pilgrims coming through. We weren't meant to stay here. Our home is heaven, right? You are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. The Bible tells us we're strangers. But you, the truth of the matter is, you are sent from heaven to earth to represent the King of all kings, King Jesus. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Good job. I want you to repeat after me. I am Christ's ambassador, sent by God from heaven to earth. I am Christ's ambassador, sent by God from heaven to earth. That's who you are. Take that home with you. That is who you are. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. John chapter 15 and verse 16. This is Jesus speaking here. He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Right? How cool is that? I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Y'all, you need to remember something. You need to remember you are not who the world says you are. You are not who people say you are. You are not who the devil says you are. You are who God says you are. And he says that you are absolutely amazing and wonderful. You are wonderfully and fearfully made in your mother's womb. And get this, write this down. You weren't elected by people. You were chosen by God. You weren't elected by people. You were chosen by God. So when someone tells you that you're not good enough and you're not worthy to represent to the name of Christ, you say, no, you don't get it. I wasn't elected by you. I was handpicked by God himself. He chose me. It's kind of like being in middle school. Now, I know that I'm just a tad past 29, but I still can remember middle school very, it's not funny. I can still remember vividly being in middle school. I was not a kid that liked school. Not at all. Matter of fact, I considered that classroom a prison cell. Hated it. And so every once in a while, maybe some of you can feel my pain, but every once in a while, the teacher needed to, this was before cell phones and laptops and stuff like that. Sometimes the teacher needed to get a note or maybe a transparency or some piece of equipment to a different classroom. And of course, she is the warden. Right? That's what teachers are. And so she couldn't leave, and so she would have to get a trustee to deliver the note. And I wasn't a brown noser, but I was just looking for any excuse at all to get out of that prison cell. Y'all feeling me? So anytime she would say, I need a note or whatever taken to another classroom, I would be like the donkey in Shrek. I'd be like, pick me, pick me, pick me, right? And every once in a while she would. And sometimes she wouldn't. But when she picked me, I would strut up to the front of the class. And I would get this piece of paper. And it was called a hall pass. Anybody remember a hall pass? This was gold. Like this was so awesome. It was like the authority. Right? And so I would take whatever it is that I was supposed to take to the other class, and I would go, and of course, I would look in all the other classrooms and make faces at my friends and stuff like that and be silly, and teacher would say, young man, and I'd be like, Paul pass. Right? You know, and then I'd keep going and do all this stuff, and of course, then I'd still be messing around in the hallway, and finally somebody would go, Milt, and I'd be like, hall pass, and I'd get to class. I'd be like, okay. Right? But the truth of the matter is, I was hand-picked by that teacher. The teacher picked me, and I was chosen to do something, and I was operating under her authority, right? I wasn't out there and getting in trouble. I wasn't on my own power and authority. I was operating under the authority of the teacher who sent me. And the same is true with Christ. You are not elected by people. You were chosen by God, hand-picked by Him Himself. And some people say, yeah, but preacher, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. No, you're not. You are an ambassador of Christ, raising up the next generation of world changers and difference makers. That's who you are. Well, I'm just a student. No, you're not. You are an ambassador of Christ, sent by God to that playing field or that classroom to represent the King of Kings to those students and those teachers. I'm just a production worker. I'm just a carpenter. I'm just a mechanic. I'm just an entry level clerk. No, you're not. You are an ambassador of Christ. You are a secret agent of the Most High God, sent to that place to represent the King of all kings to people far from God so that they can be drawn and known Jesus. Know Jesus. You are not just a Christian. You are a follower of Jesus filled with the same Holy Spirit power that raised Christ from the dead. And again, there is nothing casual, ordinary, or plain about that. Amen? And write this down. As Christ's ambassador, you never represent yourself. You always represent Jesus. As Christ's ambassador, you never represent yourself. You always represent Jesus. Okay, so let's go back to my illustration. Let's say that I am the United States ambassador to England. I am an American. I reside in the United States, but I am currently living in England, representing the government of America to the nation of England. Does that make sense? But I don't go there and go, you know, like, what I would really like for you to do, I don't go and represent myself. I don't go and represent my agenda, my ideas, or my thoughts. I represent the government that sent me. Does that make sense? And quite honestly, church, you represent the government of the kingdom of God. You represent King Jesus. Everywhere you go, every day. That was part of waking up and you put on the armor and you acknowledge you're a follower of Jesus. You recognize that you have the authority and responsibility and the privilege of being a child of the King and representing God wherever you go. That is who you are. And when you understand who you are, you'll know what to do. Okay? So, now, here's the deal. Jesus is God. Everybody agree? Jesus is God. But Jesus gave us, he's always our prime example in everything. And he set this example for us. Jesus, God, came to us 100% man, 100% God. And he chose to humble himself and become one of us. He did not come to represent his own agenda. He came to represent the will of the Father who sent him. Even looking at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knew that his time was coming, right? And remember when he prayed and he's like, Father, if there is any way for this cup to pass for me that I don't have to go through with this, like, I'll take it. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Right? We never represent ourselves, we always represent Jesus. And he taught us this example, and this is his words, John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. We follow him, we can't go wrong. Again, you are God's ambassador, sent by God from heaven to earth. You are not elected by people. You are chosen by God. You never represent yourself. You always represent Christ. Some time ago, I was sitting at a coffee shop because someone wanted to meet me and talk. And so I sat there and my coffee date never showed up. I'm not bitter. I love being stood up. But I'm sitting there having my coffee, waiting and waiting and waiting, and never showed up. Finally, I got to the point where I was like, I've got my coffee. Might as well enjoy it. So I reached down in my backpack to get a book out to just do a little reading in the coffee shop and enjoy my coffee. And as I lean down to get my book out of my backpack, I happen to notice a guy sitting at the table next to me, and I could tell he was like not having an awesome day. I mean, he looked very sad, depressed, down in the dumps. And I know you probably think, well, I'm an extrovert, but I'm really not. And like up here, I feel like I am, but out there, I'm really not. I like quiet. I don't like people. I'm just kidding. So it should be a little bit of a surprise to you, because it was a surprise to me, because I'm just all about just like put the blinders on, go back to my coffee, right? But God had something different. And in that moment, I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't avoid it. I knew that God had sent me to this coffee shop to represent him to this guy. And so out of my comfort zone, I said, sir, it appears like you're not having an awesome day, and I don't mean to stick my nose in your business, but if you need someone to talk to, I'd be happy to listen. And within a few minutes, he broke down and just started bawling. And to give you the Reader's Digest version of what happened was he had violated his marriage vows. And he had broken his wife's trust and heart. And he felt he was unredeemable. He felt he was unforgivable. And so that morning, he had packed up his suitcase and moved out. His bag was in his suitcase was in his truck. And he was sitting in this coffee shop. And then he began to really cry as he said, I'll never forget the look on my 3-year-old daughter's face as I backed out of the driveway and she said, please don't leave, Daddy. Please don't leave us. And in that moment, I realized my coffee date was never supposed to show up. But I was. And I just looked at him and very plainly said, "Sir, I don't know where you're at with God. But I believe that God sent me here to tell you something." And I said, "You need to go home and get on your knees and apologize to your wife and ask for her forgiveness." And you need to be the husband that your wife wants and needs. And you need to go be the daddy that that 3-year-old little girl needs. And then I just looked at him and said, "That's all I was supposed to say to you." And when he finally composed himself from all the tears, he looked at me, he says, I'm really not a religious guy, but I do believe that God did send you here to tell me that." And so when he left the coffee shop, he was headed back to his house. Now, I don't know how that story ended. All I know is, in my heart and my mind, that is what an ambassador is supposed to do. I don't always get it right, y'all. I miss opportunities. But I use that one because it was so vividly clear that I knew my coffee date wasn't supposed to show up, but I was. And I was, at that moment, God's ambassador, sent by God from heaven to earth to deliver this message. And I wasn't, watch this. I didn't pursue my own agenda. Like, I could have said, "You know what? Hey, you're having some problems. You come to Birchridge, God's going to fix everything." Right? Or I didn't say, "You know, whoa, sorry I asked. This is a bit heavy. I'm just trying to enjoy my caramel macchiato with extra caramel drizzle. And, I'm this is my day off, dude. I'm out, you know." I didn't do that. I simply delivered the message that God wanted. I didn't represent myself. I represented Jesus the best I knew how. And that's what we do. That's what we do. Look for those opportunities because they're all around us every single day. If you just have eyes to see. And don't get so worried about what's in it for me or how it's going to be so inconvenient. Don't come in your own power because you'll mess it up for sure. You come in the authority and power of the one who sent you. King Jesus, you are Christ's ambassador. Again, I don't have a great memory. You can just ask my wife, but I seem to remember some things rather well. Like, I can also remember when my kids were at home young. And they would get into feuds and fusses and fights, and I'd be able to hear it in the other room, like, "Knock it off, don't touch me." Right? "You're not the boss of me." I'll never forget the time that my oldest daughter, because I came from a law enforcement background, my oldest daughter handcuffed my youngest daughter around a wooden beam in the laundry room and then left her. It was a peace-loving home. Yeah, the victim right over here. But I remember all this fighting and stuff like that. And then finally, it never failed. Somebody would usually come in and go like, "So-and-so won't stop doing this and won't stop touching me," and stuff like that. I'm like, "Just tell them to knock it off." And like I did. They won't listen. And I'm like, "You go in there and tell them Dad said knock it off." And all of a sudden, she walks with a little more swagger in her step. Like, I'm not coming in my own authority. I'm coming in the authority of the king of this particular castle. Right? And it just changes things. We don't come in our own power. We come in the power of the one who sent us. We represent the King of all kings, King Jesus. Church, please remember this. There is nothing average, normal, or ordinary about you. You are blessed, filled with Holy Spirit power, and highly favored. You are an ambassador of God. You have been sent from heaven to earth to represent the King of all kings. You are not elected by people. You are chosen by God. You never represent yourself. You always represent Jesus. And you never come in your own power and authority. You come in the power and authority of the one who created you and loves you. And his name is Jesus. Because when you do that, then you will truly be an ambassador. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. One of my favorite verses of scripture, kind of like Pastor Jacob, I kind of got like 100,000 favorite verses, and so it's hard to narrow them down, but this is one of my favorites. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to pray over us. Father, thank you so much for your word. I love your word. Your word is precious. Your word must be, has to be, and is our final authority in everything that we do. And God, there are so many different aspects to our true identity in you. And this is one that is so important. To recognize who we are in you as ambassadors. What a privilege, what an honor, what a high calling and responsibility it is to live in this world, knowing this isn't our home. We come just echoing the voice of a king from another country, King Jesus. We come in the name of Jesus. We come in the authority and power of Jesus. We operate because of the Holy Spirit power living in us that allows us to be different. There's nothing ordinary, average, or common among us. We are supernatural, God, and you, it's all because of you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks. And we acknowledge we can't do anything in our own power and strength, nor do we want to. But God, I pray that this morning we would take this message and that it would help us to just concrete our understanding of why we're here. As followers of you, Jesus, we're here to represent you the best we know how to people that are far from you so that God can draw them and they can be forgiven, redeemed, and made new. What a privilege it is to be an ambassador of the Most High God. Help us to take these thoughts home with us. And may we open our eyes to see the opportunities before us. That we don't have to be true extroverts to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and to be moved by the Spirit of God in such a way that allows us to be Jesus to someone who so desperately needs to see and feel and hear and experience Jesus in us. For that person that feels ordinary or common, God, I pray that today is the day you lift them up. You remind them that they are not ordinary. They're not common. They're supernatural, called, chosen, handpicked by you, God. created intentionally, deliberately, specifically, just the way they are, created in their mother's womb with so much love and care. Help us to walk out of this place today, knowing that we were not only in your presence, but we were held close by you, and that we received encouragement and instruction and authority to go out and be light shining in a dark place for people far from you. Love on us, restore us, comfort us, encourage us, but God, also use us this week to be instruments, to be ambassadors for you. I pray this in the strong, wonderful name of Jesus. Together our church says, amen.